Welcome to the NewsHour. Hamas has released more Israeli hostages after an 11th-hour deal extended the temporary Gaza ceasefire through tonight. And mediators are working now to extend it for two additional days.
Two women were the first hostages to be handed over today. They were reunited later with their families in Israel. And this evening, six more were released into Egypt in exchange for 30 Palestinians held by Israel. In the meantime, Secretary of State Antony Blinken returned to the region. He pressed Israel to protect civilians if fighting resumes.
Israel has one of the most sophisticated militaries in the world. It is capable of neutralizing the threat posed by Hamas while minimizing harm to innocent men, women, and children. And it has an obligation to do so.
Amid the efforts to prolong the calm in Gaza, there was new violence inside Israel. Two Palestinian gunmen killed at least three people at a bus station outside Jerusalem before being killed. Hamas said it was retaliation for Israeli actions in Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said it shows Israel is justified in trying to root out Hamas.
We swore, and I swore, to eliminate Hamas. Nothing will stop us. We will continue this war until we achieve the three goals: to release all our abductees, to eliminate Hamas completely, and to ensure that Gaza will never again face such a threat.
The war in Gaza has had a devastating impact on children in particular. UNICEF says more than 5,300 kids in Gaza have been reportedly killed. That means more than 115 children have died every single day of the war. And during the October 7th Hamas attacks, 35 Israeli children were killed and more than 30 were abducted. To discuss the brutal toll on the war's youngest victims, we turn now to the executive director of UNICEF, Catherine Russell, who's back in New York after visiting Gaza in recent weeks. Catherine, I want to begin with this pause we're in right now. Fighting has been on a temporary ceasefire since last Friday. In that time, how many aid trucks, which we know are so desperately needed, how many have been able to make it into Gaza? What kind of difference can they make?
The pause has been really a godsend for us and a sort of a ray of hope, you know, for the people who live there, because we've been able to get, it really varies the numbers of trucks that go in, but, you know, a couple of hundred trucks have gone in. You mentioned I was there. I started at the Rafah border, and the crossing there, it's an amazing thing to see with all these trucks lined up. A lot of them are Egyptian government, you know, the Egyptian Red Crescent, UN trucks, bilateral partners are sending in trucks. So there's a huge effort to try to get resources in there. And for a while, that was very challenging. You know, before this whole thing started, they would routinely get about 500 trucks a day into Gaza. And those were commercial trucks, you know, different things, not really aid trucks in the same way. But it gives you an idea of the needs. And now, even though we are making some progress and getting more trucks in, we're not getting close to the resources in that we need to get in there.
We are now nearing 8 weeks of war. We mentioned officials saying over 5,300 children killed in Gaza. It's leading us to see countless videos like this one. I'm sure you've seen so many. This is a man named Khalid Naban. He's mourning the death of his grandson, Tariq, and his three-year-old granddaughter, Reem. He calls her in this video the soul of my soul. He says they shared the same birthday. He wears her earring as a badge now. UNICEF has called Gaza a graveyard for children. Can you help us understand what's the context for this loss of life in this amount of time?
Well, let me say this first. It is always the case that war and conflict are terrible for children. In every situation that I've ever seen, what we've seen here is the scale has been enormous, and also the pace of the bombings and the attacks early on were really quite dramatic. And so it was very hard to see these numbers of children who were dying every day. And of course, that comes on top of the children from Israel who were killed as well, and children who were abducted. And right. So in every situation, in every aspect of this situation, I would say that children are the ones who are really suffering. And I think it's incumbent upon the adults in the room to try to do better to protect these children.
Do you believe that Israel is abiding by international law?
You know, those are actually legal determinations that get made. I mean, what we would say is that all parties have these obligations to minimize the impact of these conflicts on children. I mean, ideally, there would be no conflicts in the world, but that's never been the case. That's why there are rules of law that say you have to minimize the impact on not just children, but civilians more generally. And I think, you know, everyone has a story, everyone has a side to their argument, but at the end of the day, every one of us has an obligation to do everything we possibly can to protect the people who are most innocent here, who have nothing, right, no responsibility for this conflict and no ability to stop it, but they are the ones who are suffering. And the videos that you showed, you know, demonstrate the incredible loss that people feel. And I think, you know, for all people, we know how, you know, we have children in our lives who we love so much, and you can hardly imagine what people are going through, either having children abducted for months, or children who are killed or buried in the rubble. I mean, it's all horrendous.
Those dozens of Israeli children who were abducted, we know they've been prioritized for release as part of the exchange of people held during this pause in fighting. We all know the story of this one little girl in particular, Abigail Moore Idan. She marked her fourth birthday as a hostage in Gaza. She is now an orphan. Her parents were killed in that Hamas attack. What can you tell us about those children? Have you had any access to them? What have they endured?
You know, it's just god-awful for these children. It's so traumatizing. And I think, you know, what it is, one of the things that we at UNICEF are very worried about, which is obviously we have the immediate impact on children, but the long-term impact, the stress, the strain of living through situations like this, either, you know, children who've been abducted and obviously living in situations that we don't really have full visibility into yet, or children who, you know, have parents who they've lost or other people that they've lost. When I was in Gaza, one of the staff people was there, was proudly telling me about this water sanitation project that she'd worked on. And then she says, kind of as an aside, well, you know, I've lost 17 members of my extended family. I mean, I couldn't believe it. You know, it was just the scale of the loss and the trauma and the fact that these people are still trying so hard to go on and make a life for themselves and their community was really striking to me.
That is the executive director of UNICEF, Catherine Russell, joining us today. Catherine, thank you so much. Always good to see you.
Thanks. Great to see you, too. Thanks so much.